Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 10, a fascinating, fascinating story here. Last time we were together, we talked about the blind man. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who is absolutely born blind. He cannot see, never has seen a thing in his life. He didn't ask to be born blind. He didn't go before God and say, can I be born blind? He was born that way. And the Bible tells us that people walked by him. In fact, the disciples walked by and said, listen, was he born blind because he sinned? Or was it because his parents sinned? Because people thought that if there was a disease in a person's life, it was because of sin in their life. And Christ makes it absolutely plain that that's not the case. Somebody is sick not because their sin. He said, look, this man was born blind because of the glory of God. The whole thing, God planned for this man to be born blind so that Jesus could walk by him at that day, touch him, put clay in his eyes, put dirt in his eyes, spit in his hands, and have him go and wash and be healed for the glory of God. God planned that. I don't think this man wanted or would have thought, hey, this is something I want. I want to be blind for 30 years of my life. But God had that intent so that he could be healed for the glory of God. Say amen to that. God wants us to understand that he has a plan. He has a plan. Well, he had a plan for this man. This man is healed. And when he's healed, this man has been a beggar. He had no, there was no social safety net back then. There was no health care. There was none of that. The only option he had for making a living, to be able to live now that he was an adult, was to sit at the temple and beg. And so he begged and he asked for food. He never expected Jesus to walk by and heal him. But Jesus did heal him. And he comes back and everybody's perplexed because of this. Everybody is wondering what's going on. His friends and his neighbors said, is this really him? And he said, yeah, it's me. And they said, well, some said it's him, but it looks like him, but it's not really him. And he said, no, it's me. And he's healed. He's healed by the grace of God. Well, they take him to the scribes and the Pharisees. He was healed on the Sabbath day. They don't care the fact that he was healed. They're only concerned that it breaks the Sabbath. They're concerned about their religious tradition. And so they said, who was it that did this? He said, I told you who did it. A man named Jesus came by and healed me. Well, what do you think about him? He said, I don't know, but he's obviously, this man is of God, or he couldn't heal somebody. He can't be of God. He healed on the Sabbath, was their response. And then he comes back. And begins to rebuke them and teach the teachers some things. Now, understand this. They were supposed to be the shepherds in Israel. They were supposed to be the people that were leading God's people. They were supposed to be the people that helped other people worship and serve the true and living God. And yet they are in a position where they are fighting against the God that created them. Wow. This is the position. This is the situation. They get so angry with this man because this man says, listen, I don't know a whole lot, but I know this, that it is only someone that's of God that could heal somebody who was born blind. And they get so upset, they decide they're going to kick him out of the synagogue. Now, this was very important because the synagogue was the center of Jewish life. It was the place where they got spiritual security, where they had social security, not in the sense that we have it, but they had their social interaction. That's where their friends were. That was where their companionship was. That was where their spiritual leadership came from. That was everything. To be kicked out of the synagogue was to lose your life. It was a horrible thing because they centered their life around this place. Jesus is going to refer to this place where the people got together as a sheepfold. He's referring to the synagogue, and he's going to talk about the fact that there's another sheepfold that he is going to establish. In fact, in John chapter 10 and verse 1, he uses this term only one time in Scripture, and that is found in John chapter 10 and verse 1. He uses the term the sheepfold. This morning we're going to see why God established the sheepfold. We're going to review somewhat the story of the blind man, and then we're going to go in and see what Jesus says about this sheepfold. It's a very, very fascinating illustration that Jesus uses. Let's start in verse 31 of chapter 9, where the Bible says, this is again, the blind man rebuking the Pharisees. He says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." They were claiming that this man was a sinner. "We know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth." You know that. You've taught that. He's telling his teachers. He's telling the rabbis. He's telling the masters. Listen, you know this. You know that no one can get that can heal somebody from blindness unless God's with him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man that opened the eyes of one that was born blind, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He couldn't have healed me if he wasn't of God. You know that. You know that's from Scripture. The point is that up to this point in history, not one person that was ever born blind was ever healed. He's saying this is just, it's unthinkable to think that this man is not of God. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sin." You can see the outrage that's here. They are mad. They answered, "Thou wast altogether born in sin. And dost thou teach us?" They are boiling. And the Bible says, and they cast him out. Now, those are very, very important words. They're casting him out of the synagogue. This is where, again, he gets his spiritual nourishment. This is where his spiritual teachers are. This is where his social interaction is. This is where you're accepted or you're rejected. He's being totally rejected. He's already been told that he was born in sin and that he has sin in his life. Now he's being cast out. He's being rejected socially. He is a social reject now. I love this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, aren't you glad Jesus looks for the outcast? Say amen to that. The people that nobody wants, Jesus says, "Good, I'll go get them." They cast him out. And Jesus went to find him. The Bible says this, and Jesus heard that he was cast out. And when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered, and I love this. This is how a person gets saved. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" The Son of God, just tell me who he is. I know that you're a man of God. I know that you're not going to lie to me. I know that you're from God, or you couldn't have healed my blindness. So you tell me who he is, and I'll believe it. And Jesus answered, said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him." And by the way, he couldn't have said this if Jesus hadn't healed him. "You've seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, and this is what happened. The Bible says, he said, "Lord, I believe." And the Bible says he worshipped him. This is what when he says he worshipped him, this is exactly what happened. The blind man looked at him and he said, "Lord, I believe." And he fell at his feet. That's what it means to worship. He fell at his feet. He wanted everyone publicly to know, "This is my God." And he worships him. Jesus, this is a proof that Jesus is God. By the way, no prophet ever, ever would allow somebody to bow and worship him, because only God deserves worship. No angel will allow you to worship him, because only God deserves worship. Any servant, any angel, any man would say, no, get up. Jesus took the worship. He bowed before him and he said, "My Lord and my God." He worships our God. Jesus is now standing before him. He's worshiping him. And Jesus said, "For judgment, I'm coming to the world." He begins talking now, and he doesn't stop talking until we get into chapter 10. It's very important that we understand that. Jesus is still talking when we come to chapter 10. He says this. Jesus said, "For judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see." He said, "I've come to open the eyes of the blind, and they which see might be made blind." So I've come to allow those who could not see to see, and those who could see, who know truth but reject truth. And that's a dangerous place to be in, when we know truth and we reject that truth. And that's where the Pharisees were. The Pharisees knew this guy was of God. The blind man had just pointed it out, and something they already knew, but they didn't want it. And so God said, "Okay, it's over for you." See, God only deals with us so long. And then he says, "It's over for you." That they which see, and that's where the religious people of that day were. The leaders of the religious people of that day. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. They're rejecting Jesus. They know that he's of God. They've already acknowledged that. Nicodemus acknowledged that back in John chapter 3. We know that you're of God. But he said, "Yet you won't believe." Jesus said, "You won't believe." These were rejectors. So they that could see are going to be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said, "Are we blind also? Are you saying that we're blind?" Jesus said, "No, you're not blind." Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." It wouldn't be sin if you were blind, if you really didn't see. But now you say, "We see." You know who I am, and yet you've rejected me. Therefore, your sin remaineth. When we know there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, and we say, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that Jesus is God. We reject that. Then we lose the opportunity. Now, he's continuing. This conversation is, even though there's a chapter break, there's no chapter break in the Greek. This is just there for our understanding. He continues on with this conversation. He says, "Verily, verily," or absolute truth, "I'm going to speak to you right now." You need to catch this. "Truly, truly, absolute truth, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold," that is those who will not receive me, "but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And Jesus begins to talk here about a sheepfold. Let's read it through verse 10. "But he that entereth by the door, he is the shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus said, listen, there's this sheepfold. And he says, the person that enters not through the door, and this would be the door. He that enters not by the door, you see the shepherd there? That the sheepfold in the, if you go to Judea, even today, there are tons of these all over the hills of Judea. I'm looking forward to June. I'm going to actually see this with my own eyes. There are tons of these. It's a sheepfold. There's just rocks piled up on each other so the sheep can't get out. And then there's a doorway to get in. Jesus is going to refer to himself as the door. Why does he do that? Because the shepherd would actually sit in the door. If there were several different sheep herds that were in there, then one of the shepherds would be the door. He would be the only way you could go in or go out. He would allow you to go in or he would allow you to go out. So understand that as we read what Jesus is saying. He's going to talk about a sheepfold. He's going to talk about the sheepfold that was corrupt. It was the sheepfold of the synagogue as compared to a new sheepfold that he's going to start, which is the local church. He establishes a new sheepfold. Very, very important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Why would somebody not go through where the shepherd is? Because they want to steal the sheep or they want to hurt the sheep. So they climb up while the shepherd is asleep by the door in order to steal sheep, in order to get them for themselves and to use them or to abuse them. What he is doing is he's using an allegory to say, look, you scribes and you Pharisees, you claim to be the shepherds of my sheep. But you've not entered in. You're not willing to come in through me. And so what you are is you are robbers and thieves. You're abusing the sheep of God. So he goes on. But he that entereth in by the door, that is through me, is the shepherd of the sheep. There are people that led the people of God properly. And they came in. They were ones that believed in Jesus. So when they were in dealing with the sheep, they cared for them. There are true shepherds. There are false shepherds. The only true shepherds are those who are born again, who love Jesus Christ, who've received him, and who are in submission to Jesus Christ. There are true shepherds and there are false shepherds, and he's pointing this out. To him the porter openeth, that is that shepherd that is there, the door, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, that is this true shepherd, and he calleth his own by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him. Sheep can't be driven, they have to be led. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. So here's the deal. The shepherd would come and he would say, I have my sheep and I trust you. I have these sheep that I need to take care of. I trust you. I'm going to leave them with you. And the shepherd would leave his sheep with the door, with the doorkeeper, with the porter. He would let them. The sheep would come in and they would be taken care of there. They would be protected there. They would be provided for there. They would be fed there. Then when the true shepherd would come by, he would come back and say, I need to get my sheep. If this whole thing's filled with a bunch of different sheep, how do they know whose sheep are whose? Here's why. The shepherd knows, those sheep knew their shepherd. Just like I have a dog at home named Princess. Princess knows me. Princess knows that I will feed her. Princess does not know that the only reason I feed her is because my wife makes me be kind to the dog. But Princess thinks that I'm just this wonderful person. And when I come to the door of the dog kennel or to my backyard, that dog goes nuts. I mean, she's just going crazy because she wants to see me, and she thinks she knows my voice. Some other man walks out to the door of her kennel, and she starts growling because she doesn't know that person's voice. Sheep with their shepherd to this day in Israel know their shepherd. So all the true shepherd has to do is go to the door and call his sheep by name. Each of the sheep had a name. Call them, and their sheep will come to the door, and he can lead them out to find pasture, to do what sheep do out in the pasture, and they'll follow him back in to the sheepfold. And Jesus is using this wonderful illustration to talk about the local church and to talk about the problems in the synagogue and as compared to the blessing that of the local church. So let's take a look at what this says. The Bible says, a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable or this illustration spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now listen, this is very important because of what he says in verse 10. It says, then Jesus said unto them, because they said, why are you talking in illustrations and parables? Why are you doing that? And they said unto Jesus, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, absolute truth again, I want you to understand. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus identifies himself in this portion of this scripture. He identifies himself as this man. When we come to verse 11, which we'll examine next Sunday, Jesus doesn't address himself as this man. He addresses himself as a shepherd. So he's going to use two illustrations to tell us who he is. And he's going to tell us, he's going to give us a specific illustration in this message about the sheepfold, this place here. He says, I want you to understand that I am the door of the sheep. If anybody comes in or goes out, they need to come through me. If they are a true shepherd, if they are truly following me, then they're safe. They're saved. So he says this. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Why is there so much confusion in Israel? Because there's a bunch of thieves. This is such an accusation against the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. He's saying, you need to understand, everyone that's come before me are thieves and robbers. Whoa, man. And they're standing there. Remember, they just asked him, are we blind also? And he said, no, you know. And you know, you're liars on purpose. You're thieves on purpose. He's just nailing them to the wall. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. By the way, there were others that were coming at that time claiming to be the Messiah. They were claiming to be the deliverer of Israel. He said, they're all liars. They're all thieves. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If someone wants to get into the sheepfold, and he's speaking specifically about the shepherd, they come in through me. Don't trust somebody to lead you, he's saying, who is not someone who's put their faith in me. Don't trust somebody to lead you. And by the way, we do this all the time as Christians. We get advice about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness from everybody, from the radio to the television to the newspapers. He's saying, look, if you're going to be led, make sure you're in my sheepfold and make sure you have a shepherd who is born again, who's going to lead you. And how do you know that? How do you know that they're good shepherds? Because they got in the same way you did. Through the door. The only way you get saved is through Jesus. Say amen to that. Amen. That's the only way. And so he's making that clear. So he says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And look, there are people who are standing at the wall saying, listen to me, come over here. Another person's coming here. They're sneaking over and saying, follow me. And they're trying to get them to, and he's saying, look, they're thieves. They're robbers. They're liars. They're out to hurt you. Be careful. Don't get hurt. God's given us a sheepfold so that we can be protected, so that we can be provided for. So you need to make sure that you're not led astray by someone who calls themselves a shepherd, who is a thief and a robber and a liar. Now he says this. He says the thief comes not but for to steal. Here's how you can identify a thief. He's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal away truth of the Word of God from you. He wants to destroy your salvation by grace. He wants to destroy your testimony. But he said, now look, I love this. Why did he establish a sheepfold? He said, I have come that you might have life. God wants us to have life. That is, he wants us to have eternal life. But that's not all. He says that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us not just to be saved, but he wants us to have abundant life. He wants us not only to receive him as our Savior, but he wants us to have a wonderful life. So he said, I've established a sheepfold and shepherds, so that you might have that life. And that's what this passage is about. We're going to look at this morning, why did Jesus establish a sheepfold? Before we get into the rest of this message, I'm going to ask God to bless it. Father, I thank you for the truth that's here. Thank you for the illustration, Lord Jesus, that you gave us. And I pray, Father, you'll help me to make it clear to your people. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three reasons why God established a sheepfold this morning. Number one, I want you to see this. He gave us a sheepfold because we need it. We need a sheepfold. See, when you got saved, when you were born a sinner. You were born separated from God. You were on your way to hell. You were like every other person that was ever born on this planet. You were born a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You were born into sin. That sin passed down from Adam and Eve to generation after generation until it got to your grandfather, and then it got to your grandmother, and it got to your parents, and then it came to you, and you were born a sinner. You inherited sin, spiritually dead, separated from God. But the Bible says that God loves us in spite of the fact that we're sinners. And God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and he died to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having paid for our sin. He went back to heaven. Now the Bible says, in order to get to heaven, all I have to do is say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that you are God. And I know that you died to pay for my sin. I know you were buried and rose from the dead. I believe that. And I know I deserve to go to hell, but I'm asking you to give me eternal life. So I'm calling on you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you do that, when you ask Jesus to save you, you become a member of the family of God. The Bible says you were born again. The Bible says you have you had a body and a soul the first time you were saved, or for the first time you were born. Then when you asked Jesus to save you, his spirit came into your life and your dead spirit was made alive. And now you are born again. When that happens, you become a part of the family of God. You're part of God's kingdom. But you're not in the sheepfold yet. You're part of God's kingdom. And God has now established a sheepfold for a thing called the sheepfold. We call it the local New Testament church. He knows that now that you're saved, you need a place of protection. You don't take a baby and say, all right, let's just take him out here. Because here's what happens. Watch this. Out here, there's a wolf. Out here, there's lions. Out here, there's bobcats. Out here, there's people that can eat you. There's things that can destroy you. So God established a thing he refers to here as a sheepfold. In the Old Testament, during the time of Christ, there were synagogues. There were local synagogues where people got together. In those synagogues, the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers, the rabbis, were supposed to protect and take care of and teach the people of God. But Jesus tells them this is a wicked, corrupt sheepfold, and the people are thieves and liars. So Jesus is going to establish a new sheepfold. And he does that. See, when you got saved, you were born again. And your life changed. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. You got saved and you became a new creature. You are a new person in Christ. You are new and you have a new purpose. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, he says, we pray in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. He's saying, look, you are new. You're a new creature and you've got a new purpose. Your whole purpose in life now, once you got saved, is different than what before you were saved. You may work the same job. You may live in the same house. But when you got saved, you have a new purpose. Your purpose now is to reach those neighbors around you with the gospel of Christ. Your purpose now at work is to show people at work what Jesus would be like at the job where you work. Your purpose in your family is to show people what a godly father, mother, sister, brother, aunt or uncle is like. You're just supposed to show Christ. Your whole purpose has changed. You are now an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ. So you got saved, you got changed, and now you have a new purpose. You're totally and completely different than the world. You serve the Lord now. That's what we see in verse 38 of chapter 9, where the Bible says, and he said, Lord. The word Lord means master. He says, I believe, and he worshiped him. That's what we do now. We have changed. When you get saved, everything changes in you, but here's the deal. You live in the same old world. You live in the same old world. It's there. So, why do we need a sheepfold? Number one, because we need... Why did he create a sheepfold? Because we need it. Number two, I want you to see this. You need to understand, we need a sheepfold because the world rejects his sheep. The world is a terrible place. The world rejects the sheep of God, and they're out to kill the sheep of God. I was listening on the way into church this morning to a radio talk show host, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck said, I am so confused about the way the world is. The world is just crazy. It's amazing that it's gotten so bad that even the world understands how bad it is. He said, it's crazy. And he told the story of a Christian who had gotten out of Iran and had gone to Sweden and went to Sweden and was trying to get in there. And then she got out. She was a Christian. She got out and she was a secret Christian in Iran. She got out and she declared her Christianity. And because of that, the Swedes would not allow her in their nation and are sending her back to Iran, where she'll be killed for the glory of killed because of what she believes about Jesus. And he was saying, this is astonishing. Listen, it shouldn't astonish us. The world, Jesus said, the world hates me. Andrew, he said, if the world hates me, shouldn't it hate you? You need to understand that. What we believe about Jesus Christ and who he is anathema to the world. Why? The Bible tells us that the world is corrupt. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter said this world is corrupt. This world is corrupt. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. He said, Peter said, it's corrupt. Paul said, it is dark. There's darkness here. It's wicked. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Peter said again, the place is polluted. He says in 2 Peter, if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than at the beginning. He said, listen, it's important we have a sheepfold because this world is polluted and it pulls us and tears us apart. So physically and emotionally in this world, if we don't have a place of shelter, we're going to be ripped apart. We think about that for us. Think about that for our children. Think about that for our grandchildren. A wise God said they need a sheepfold. They need a place where they'll be protected. The Bible tells us that Satan, in 2 Corinthians, is the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the world we live in. Satan is its god. This world is filled with pride and lust, according to 1 John. John says, so we've got this from Peter, we've got this from James, we've got this from John, we've got this from Paul. First John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here's what the world is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Wow. This world is filled with it's polluted. It's corrupt. Satan is its god. It's filled with pride and lust. Paul said again in Philippians, it is a crooked and perverse world, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights. Say, man, this is depressing. It's that bad? Yeah, the world is a bad place. The Bible tells us in Romans that it's reprobate and vile. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is what the world is. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, that's sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. That's pretty bad. Can you say amen to that? This is a wicked world. Somebody will come to me from time to time. I remember several years ago, a guy came to me and he said, listen, I have given 20 years of my life to this company. And they said, I can't believe it. You can't believe what they did to me after 20 years of loyalty. I said, is your boss saved? Well, no. I said, well, is your company like a Christian company? They said, no. I said, well, why would you expect anything? Well, I thought they were just basically good people. Wrong thinking. Can you say amen to that? You need to understand the best that the world has is right here. Malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. God's told you that. Well, then I don't want to work for them. Let's all get together in a Christian commune and move up to some place and just all live together and love one another. No, we'd find enough fault with each other as well. Can you say amen to that? See, we're saved, but we still live in a corrupt body. Christians have tried to do that in the past. We're just going to move away and we're just all going to do this together. Look, the Bible tells us the world is reprobate and vile and wicked and corrupt and polluted and full of envy and strife. And that's where the world is. And by the way, that's where your children are growing up. That's why Jesus said they need a sheepfold. They need a sheepfold. Your children and you need a place. A place where you can get away. A place that'll encourage you. So, Jesus establishes sheepfold because we need it. He establishes sheepfold because the world is corrupt and vile. Number three, he established a sheepfold because it provides for the sheep. the sheepfold provides for us. And Jesus here is saying, look, you need to understand, our sheep need a sheepfold. Now, this is what's really neat. I love this. Because he's doing this. Brother Ron, he's going into this guy who has just, this blind guy that's been made well. And because he's been made well, he's kicked out of his sheepfold. There's no hope for him now. I mean, he's a social reject. He's a spiritual reject. He's a physical reject. He's just everything. He's got nothing now. He's been kicked out of his sheepfold. But Brother LaRue, this is what Jesus said. It's okay. Come into my sheepfold. Can you say amen to that? Jesus said, hey, I've got a sheepfold for you. It's built for you. It's someplace just for you. The world out there, they reject you, but that's okay because they're corrupt, they're wicked, they're vile, they're terrible. And you got false teachers that call themselves religious leaders. But, he said, I got someplace for you. This poor blind guy had no hope. But Jesus said, here, I want you to understand there's a sheepfold. Jesus has said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He said, I've got a place, however, for you. It's a place, this sheepfold is a place of protection. It's a place of protection. It's a place where the legalistic teacher is not allowed in to tell you, hey, well, you don't understand. You say you believe in Jesus, but you're still doing this. And you say you believe in Jesus and your trust in Christ as your Savior, but you still got this habit. And listen, you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing. You're not living up. You're not keeping the Sabbath. You're not. And God said, listen, I'm here to protect you from those thieves that would steal your joy. And I'm here to protect you from those who would take you out and rip you apart. I'm here to protect you from the robbers, someone who's going to hurt you. I'm here to protect you. Get in the sheepfold. Get in the sheepfold. It's a place where, with a pastor, look at verse 2 and 3 again. It says, but he that entereth in by the door, Jesus is the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said, look, I'm going to let shepherds in here that are going to be there for you. There are true shepherds. There really are true shepherds. People will say to me all the time, well, I heard the other day that 17% of preachers in America are immoral and corrupt. I think that's horrible. 17%. But you know what I rejoice in? That means about 83% are doing okay. There's some good preachers in this country. And you're not looking at the only one. I hope that I'm doing what God wants me to be. But God's given us some good shepherds. In this church, in this sheepfold, you have Pastor Shore, loves the Lord. I mean, he just pours his life into the sheep of this church. You have Pastor Matt. How many of you are thankful for Pastor Matt? Say amen. I mean, what a wonderful guy. I used to travel and think, man, and people, this is what would be said. I would leave. They'd say, oh, Pastor, you're not going to be there next week. Oh. Now I say, I'm going to be gone next week. And they say, oh, good. Pastor, there's no job security in this place whatsoever. We have Pastor Neil, who really, I mean, right now, I mean, Pastor Neil got here this morning at 6:30, opened the doors, made sure all the lights were on, made sure everything was going on. And he didn't just do that this morning. He does it every Sunday morning. He cares about people. You have shepherds in your adult Bible studies that are there preparing messages all week long to feed the flock of God. There are lay shepherds in this church who call. People say, you're calling again? Yeah, because we want you to know. If you're sick, we want you to know that we want to pray for you. I made several phone calls yesterday just to people who I knew were absent, and I wanted to find out if they were okay. Some of you say, I heard this yesterday, I've been there. What's the problem? Well, it's a big church. But if somebody tells me you're absent, then I'm going to call you and just let you know that I love you. That's what shepherds do. Can you say amen to that? There's all sorts of shepherds in this church. And here's how they became shepherds. Look, watch this. Watch this. This is how they became shepherds. They went to the door and they said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? And Jesus saved them. And they had a calling to be shepherds. So Jesus said, come in, because I got some sheep that need to be led. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for the adult Bible study teachers that teach you, that shepherd you, that care about you? The fact of the matter is, God's given us a place of protection. He's given us people to feed us truth, someone to lead the way, someone to take care of us. Look, God knows this. God knows that you don't have, and you should read the Bible every day. But for the first 1,400 years of church history, Christians didn't have Bibles in their hands. See, that's only happened since the 1400s, when the Gutenberg press finally was made and Bibles were able to be made. For the first 1400 years, there was no Bible. So you didn't have a Bible reading in your home every day. You had to go and listen to shepherds. Now you have the Bible, but I know the way it is. I know what it's like. You get busy all week long and you think, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible, but you don't get around to it. And God said, look, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a shepherd that's going to teach you the Word of God. That's what shepherds are for. The sheepfold is a place of protection. It's a place where God has provided a pastor. That's not all. It's a place for proclamation. It's a place where God's people are fed. It's a place of proclamation. That should be up there next. It's a place where you're hearing the Word of God. And it's a place where you should feel like this. Like any time I bring a friend, they're going to hear about how to get saved. Can you say amen to that? You should, anytime you bring a friend, I have people walk up to me and say, Pastor, I brought my uncle. I brought my friend. You need to make sure you give the gospel. I will, I promise. I promise they're going to hear the gospel. The fact of the matter is, this is a place of proclamation. It's a place where you can bring a friend. Through the sheepfold, you can bring them in. They can hear the truth. And then it's a place of partnership. I think this is so important. See, what do you mean? Every Christian needs a companion that's a Christian. You need somebody to come alongside you. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As a matter of some is, but exhorting. That word exhorting is so important. But the word exhorting means to encourage, but encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What the writer of Hebrews was saying was this: the destruction of the nation of Israel is coming. And it's very, very close. It happened in 70 AD and this is written somewhere between 50 and 60 AD. And he's saying, look, you can see the handwriting's on the wall. Israel's going to be destroyed. The judgment of God is coming. And you need to understand that it's coming. And the closer it comes, the more you need to get together to encourage one another to do that which is right. Christian brothers and sisters need encouragement. John, I don't know what you went through this week, but maybe somebody said something unkind to you. I mean, maybe you had a little bit of a problem this week. And the fact of the matter is, you need to be encouraged. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what the situation is that you're facing right now. But the fact of the matter is, you need, whether you know it or not, you need somebody to come up and say, hey, I love you, brother. I'm on your side. You see, we need that. We need that. Why? Because of that wicked world that we talked about that's corrupt. Because of the wolves that are out there, because of the lies that are out there, and even the good person that said something they may not have intended to say that hurt you, stabbed you like a knife, and it's good to have somebody can come up and say, hey, I want you to know, I appreciate you. It's good to have somebody come up and say, David, I love you. It's good to have that, because out there, there's people, Rob, you may not know this, but there's people out there that don't like you. And we need one another. We need one another. The fact of the matter is, the worst things yet, as we see the coming of Christ coming, we need one another. And so God's given us this place this place that's a place of protection. He's given us this place that's a place with a shepherd. He's given us this place that's a place of proclamation. And he's given us a place of partnership. So, Brother Ron, we're not doing it on our own. I'm praying for you every day. And I know you pray for me. See, I'm not, I can't do that for everybody in the world, but I can for the people of this church. Say amen to that. Amen. This is why God established the sheepfold. The blind man said, I believe you. I believe you, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah. And at that point, but the deal is, what am I going to do with that? Because I'm an outcast. I've been kicked out of the synagogue. I'm socially rejected. I'm physically rejected. I'm spiritually rejected. I have no teachers. Jesus said, it's okay. Because I have a sheepfold for you. Say amen to that. It's a wonderful thing to be part of God's sheepfold. Father, I pray you'll help us to be the kind of sheep within this fold that encourage one another, that lift one another up. I pray, Father, we'll see how important it is that we support this fold, and Father, that we are united together, so that Satan can't fight against us. And so when he does, we have someone to go to. We have this place of protection. I pray if somebody's ear that's not saved, I pray for their salvation today. I pray, Father, they'll put their faith and trust in you, and I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.